Blog Talk Radio.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say,
together wonderful to me.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Charles on the Spirit of Truth Revealed. I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are during this precious season. And it's a wonderful time. So hopefully, if you're actually for the season, hopefully everything's going okay. If you're in the snow or if you're in the nice weather or wherever you're at. It's nice. All seasons are very nice and beautiful at all times. Anyway, so finally, first let's set our minds to receive the Word of God, and we're going to have prayer. The Bible says, continue to fellowship within one another, remembering that sin separates us from God, right? So we need to walk by the Spirit, not by our sinful nature. So we need to confess our sins. And we need to remember that. Confessing means to admit or acknowledge our wrongdoing to the God, the Father. Okay, so let us not forget that. And as the Bible states, as we, what, confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all, what, unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So let me give you a quick time of silent prayer. Focus on yourselves and to prepare yourself to receive today's message. And then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, right now we give thanks. And we give thanks to You for all things. For all things come through You. And we continue to study Your Word and to give understanding in Your grace and mercy that You have given us. And we want to continue to glorify Your name, Father, as we continue to learn. And on a lot of things that we study and what You also give to us and how we impact others, Father. And we continue to pray for the sick as well. For Your best way is for not for us to have sickness. It is not of You. Sickness and disease is not of God. It's of the adversary. So we pray for the sick out there, for myself and also you, the listeners, and also the safety of others. Let's pray for the safety of others. There's many missionaries in this world that are abroad to spread the Word of God. And so we pray over them for their health and for their outstanding service unto the things of God. And we also pray for the leadership of this country. The Bible also states, pray for the leadership of this country, that we, what, do well and try to continue to do the things of God as relates to United States or abroad, right? We're also going to pray for the peace of Israel. Psalms 122:6, it also says, mentions that to pray for the peace of Israel as things come into close as Christ returns and we go into a different time-based seasonal history as relates to God as we move closer and closer to the things that what He wants us to do. And also pray for myself and others listening. So I pray for you and I pray for myself as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, great. So first of all, I wanted to do a couple things here. I haven't been on the show for a while. There's a couple things I've been doing, and I apologize for that, but I'm back. I'm back with a different spin. Different spin meaning at this point, the previous messages were geared towards a lot of the foundational stuff in general that I've been learning. But as I continue on, I wanted to also share another part as it relates to prophecy. And probably throughout the years, of course, I've had many visions, and probably since maybe 2005, I have a book of many visions that I started writing, actually recording, I think, 2006. But as it relates to, it relates to a lot of things. It relates to the things of God. Some of them are not from God, but you have to learn that as it relates to visions and interpretation. There's a learning, you know, even though the gift of prophecy is perfect within itself, the gifts, you just need a willing heart, right? Through the Holy Spirit, these things come. And however, there's a learning component to that. You have to continue to study and to read the Word of God. And there's another component of that as it relates to prophecy, is also living it. Living it in the sense of, if you're going to be a spokesman for God, You have to what? You have to live the things of what God wants them to do. If you look at the Old Testament prophets, and if you look at these people, they were geared towards to receive the word of God and to do the things. So they're not, you know, not saying they're perfect, but they are willing in a sense, but they also have a living component towards that. There's certain things that God, you know, actually expects of them. Anyway, so this take is a little bit different. I'm just including additional things as it relates to prophecy. It's because of, again, all the things that I've, you know, written down. I'm starting to make sense of them. Some of them are instant, some of them are understanding, some of them are not, because they haven't came into fruition. So some things are in the past that have not came yet. Some of them are coming that I'm going to share today, as far as the visions that, you know, that I've had in the past, but it also manifests itself very recently, and it gives you insight. It's nothing new. We have to realize this, is that God's word is through the Bible. This is just another avenue. As it relates to prophecy, it's not to prophecy is not to predict, right? So in other words, a prophet did not predict, is not in the office of prediction. That is not the case. If you look in the Old Testament prophets, yes, they are God's spokesmen. They are the mouth of God. However, it was something that God wanted them to do or to say or to reveal, typically repentance to a country or a people or a nation, for example, in this case, of course, Israel, in the Old Testament prophets. But it could also been towards, remember Jonah with Nineveh. God used prophets that were God used prophets also to give warning. They could have been Gentiles. Typically, they were Jews or, you know, of the Hebrew extent. To nations, to Israel, of his chosen people, or it was also to of Gentile nations, as we see in Nineveh. Jonah, you know, so... And, I mean, I can give you an example. When God prophesied to Jonah to tell Jonah, you know, 3 days in the belly of the whale, to go to Nineveh, he said, hey, in 40 days, you know, I'm going to destroy them. However, Nineveh repented, and God did not destroy. And you can see that at the end of the book, right? So the capture is, then later on, Nahum actually came back and pronounced judgment, and then God did ultimately destroy Nineveh. If you look at the history, if you look at patterns, God has patterns, and this is how you start to study and understand God, and this is how I've started to study and understand God. As he gives me these visions, there's patterns, and these patterns I pick up, and these patterns you can see in the Bible and Scripture. But you can also see these patterns by the Spirit as it helps to guide you and to understand these things. Are these things for me? Absolutely not. These visions and these things that I see are for what? It's for the body of Christ, and it's for people outside the body of Christ too. So we have to be very careful when it comes to prophecy. Are there false prophets? Absolutely, there's false prophets. The Bible, Moses speaks of false prophets in Deuteronomy. Being careful on two primarily things. What they say has to come to pass. That's number one. And number two, they have to glorify God, and it has to be God's will. So those are the primary two discriminators of false prophets in general, is that if they say something, it does have to come to pass. We got to be careful there. But anyway, as it comes to repentance, if God wants all to come to repentance, and if that is the case, then judgment will not be seen of that country or nation or peoples or whatever. But anyway, so as we continue to look at this and focus on things as it relates to prophets and God, and there's a, you know, the ministry has expanded with, you know, actually with the New Testament and Christ, prophecy, the gift of prophets, right? I'll get into that in a second. I mean to speak on it now. But it is an office, right, of Christ. And Christ has stated. So, you know, as Christ uses apostles, evangelists, pastors, preachers and teachers and everything, right? Those are the body of Christ. And it's for the edification of the saints. So God, so let's look at the, you know, as Christ came. Before Christ, it was what? There was no mediator. There was, well, we had Moses, but we had intermittent mediators, right? But when there wasn't any mediator, in other words, someone who comes between man and God, God what? He put that upon men himself. In this example, in Old Testament prophets, he put himself through man. So God spoke directly to man and also had visions through man. God says, I speak to him in a vision. I may speak, right? So there's purposes for that. So in Numbers 12:6, God does mention, hey, I speak to my prophets this way. But he also states that what? I spoke to Moses because of what? He was a humble man. So he spoke, you know, directly to Moses. And God can do anything he wants, right? God is, God is God. He can do anything he wants in that sense. But anyway, so looking at the context of the New Testament, there's a little, you know, it has expanded. However, under Christ, we have to look at the purpose of the prophet. Same thing, but the prophet under Christ is of love. So it brings what? Comfort, edification, and building. So the purpose there is a little, it's been added as it relates to Christ, right? But God has what? Communicated to Jesus, Christ our Lord and Savior, and Christ what? Expands this to his what? The fivefold ministry of the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. So anyway, these people are out to edify the church, right, in a sense. And we have to understand when it relates to the Bible that there's certain areas, right? We have, you know, the church is and then we have Israel, right? And then we have the Gentile nations, and then we have, so you have to be very careful of who he's speaking to and the purpose thereof. Again, right now we're in the church age. We're here teaching Christ. Christ is going to return. Because Christ said, I will what? Leave, and then I will come back to get what? My own that are in Christ. But then what? God has to what? Deal with Israel as it relates to the 7-year tribulation and how they're going to have to seek his face. It states in Hosea that they're going to what? God, Jesus in Hosea 5:15, Christ says, I'm going to leave until they what? Understand what they understand what the Israel nation have missed. They're going to seek his face. And then in that, what? They're going to see Christ. So that is a God thing, right? So just trying to set the stage, you know, as a high level as far as prophets, but to set the high level stage is that what? Christ is going to return for the church, right? For those who believe in Christ, the Messiah. But then, what, after he gets the church, then we call that the rapture and everything. I don't want to get into that. But after he gets that, then what? God is going to deal directly to what? Israel, as far as the 7-year tribulation, what they're going to have to go through. And then there's still judgment at the end. And then we reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And I'll have a session on that as it relates to Revelation. It's really good. It's really simple. The book of Revelation is very simple. It's revealing stuff. And even John was, you know, a servant at the time. But anyway, the thing is that it's very important to kind of understand prophecy in general. So that's why I kind of give the framework here, is that prophecy is not to predict. It's not for someone to sit back and say, hey, next week you're going to burn, you know, or whatever the case may be. That's not really the case. The case is that God's word is the ultimate source, right? A prophet's word does not supersede the word of God. I mean, if that makes sense. So if someone is prophesying in general, it has to line up with the word of God. And that's the key. And if it lines up with the Word of God and it's in love as it relates to Christ now, it's in love and then it's there for comfort. It's for edification. You know, it's to build you up. It's to stir you up. It's to understand these things of God so you can be partakers of what? The good things of God, what he's trying to show to you, right? And all of it, you know, as it relates to prophets, typically aren't popular in a sense, right? Because even in Old Testament, they brung what? They brung, you know, repent. They brung bad news, you know, told Israel, hey, to repent or this is going to come upon you. And sure enough, it did, right? King Nebuchadnezzar or Elijah with Ahab, right? So these things came across them when they didn't do right, right? So what's the main message of today's prophecy? It really depends. God can use, if someone is stovepiped in a sense that, you know, God doesn't communicate this way or he doesn't, I think we have to be careful with that because of the fact that there are people you can know that are getting, just search YouTube, you know that there are people getting visions and dreams and all sorts of things. So some of them may be demonic. I can tell that, you know, some of them are actually demonic. However, some of them are from God. But there's a learning curve. As you get these, you have to know how to use it and to share the word of God to other people so it can be usable, for example. So it's not about that person. Anyway, so this is good. And could it relate to other people? Absolutely. If you're in a church setting and someone prophesies and it's to edify or to build someone or to comfort someone, absolutely, that's another artifact. But it, again, has to line up to the Word of God. Typically, it's founded on faith. Paul mentions as far as prophesy and proportional to your faith. But anyway, so the thing is that you'll start to see where your calling is as it relates to prophecy, even all the other gifts. Stir them up, right, as it relates to... I like to say, the gifts, let me touch on this real quick too, is that the gifts, if you look at the gifts of the Spirit, there are 9 of them. But if you start to understand the numbers of God and the things of God and the colors and all this, you know, God starts to communicate patterns. And even the Jews understand that God communicates in patterns. They don't look at it as prophecy as a specific event. In other words, at this time and date, this is going to happen. What they look at, Jews looks at prophecies as patterns because they know the patterns of God. And that's actually how I learned as far as what's being communicated to me is that there are patterns that I start to see. And as I continue to study the Word of God, I start to pick up on these patterns, and then I start to pick up, oh, okay, I see. You know, but not only that, you can help. There's other areas that you help in. You can help in people's personal lives because you know how God would execute or how he would do something in a certain situation, and you can help that person. You can edify them. We have to remember that prophets, in a sense, are helpers, right? In 2 Chronicles, it talks about listen to prophets so you can prosper. Prosper in a sense of if there's something that a prophet can use that you can tell someone that they can better govern their life or go down the right, if you come a fork in a road and they can see that you need to go right, for example, that's prosperity. I mean, it doesn't have to – I'm not talking about means – it could be money, but I'm not talking about the means of money. I'm talking about health. It could be health, right? If you remember when Elijah came to the widowed woman and there was a famine in the land, first thing he had mentioned, he says, hey, can you feed me something? And then what? He was in return, he gave her what? The oil that never ended, right? When she poured the oil, it continued to be filled. So why was that? It's because of Elijah. She had helped Elijah in a sense as far as feeding him first. And then what? The everlasting oil came, and it never ran out. So there's a dual purpose, you know, for prophets and prophecy. I'm here to share this with you so you can live your lives better, in a sense. And it's tremendous, right? So I get the enjoyment out of spreading the word of God And I get the enjoyment out of teaching and learning the things that God has given me, because you don't want to, what, sit on it. There's a time in which you learn, of course. But God had also told, let's say, for example, Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, hey, if I tell you something, then I want you to get it out to them. But if you see these things coming and you don't, then what? It's going to be upon you. Now, again, Old Testament, we're in, you know, in the New Testament light. But we have to, you know, keep things, and we want to keep things focused so that we help other people. Anyway, so just trying to give a quick foundation. Let me see how much time. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been speaking for a half an hour. Anyway, so let me see what I have here. So I gave, again, I think I spoke about that. Prophecy is not to predict. It's forthtelling. That it's either already written in the Bible or God is trying to convey something. And if that forthtelling comes true, then you know this person is a true prophet, of course. But if it, you know, be careful, right? There are false prophets out there. But anyway, the key is that, again, the primary purpose, 1 Corinthians 14:3, is to be used for edification, exhortation, and comfort of men, right? So, and we use this, and also can be used for teaching too as well. But again, I give this information to understand where we are as it relates to the Bible, and it's really good once you start to see this and start to pick up, you can see how God uses His apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and also God's helpers, right? The 2 Corinthians 12:28, they also help. And Ephesians 4:11 is what I was speaking of. He gives, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I'm just briefly going over this stuff. I know I actually spoke of it, but I wanted to get this out too as well. So anyway, so as we continue, so just to touch just a little bit more on as it relates to prophets. Again, I want to, you know, give the basis for this and how we can relate to this and how we can think about it and speak through it. So the purpose of a prophet, I mean, let's continue on. I think I spoke, and so what I want to do here now is there are other things here I have that I want to speak to you, but I think I'm going to just wait on this information. I can continue to speak on that. But what I want to get to now is how God, let's say, for example, how dreams and visions are used in the Bible. As it relates, God does use dreams and visions for certain purposes. I can go over that. There's quite a few dreams and visions and why they were. But the most one, even as it relates to interpretation, interpretation is very important. However, one has to be able to understand that. Or actually, before I get into that, let me get onto the gifts of the Spirit. The number three, as relates to God, as you study numbers and everything, as we know, seven is completeness. Eight typically is of, you know, a new start, new generation. So the number three is spiritual. Three denotes divine perfection. So, for example, we have the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Trinity, right, with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So those three are what? One. John mentions that these three are yet one. So that is a divine perfection, right? A divine meaning heavenly perfection. And so we could see that also with the Spirit of the gifts of the Spirit. There's typically nine gifts of the Spirit. But if we group those, there's three groups. There's revelation, gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. People typically group that. And then we have vocal gifts. Vocal gifts are the tongues, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and also the gift of prophecy, which I'm speaking of today. And then, of course, we have power. Power can be grouped into faith, healing, and there's one more, faith, healing, and, faith, healing, and miracles. But anyway, so vocal gifts. So I'm touching on prophecy today, but prophecy is a vocal gift, right? And so yet three are one. And so to what? To really grasp the concept and the power of prophecy, again, yet three are one, we have what? Speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and also prophesying. So it's really good to home in on those three as well, to really get a grasp on the vocal gifts. And I'm not going to talk about that, but speaking in tongues is powerful. Also, the interpretation of tongues. Tongues is sort of the same purpose. You know, it edifies. It's a heavenly prayer language. It edifies the church as well. But it's also a sign to the unbeliever. Sometimes people don't catch up on that. But speaking in tongues is also a sign to the unbeliever. So this gift is actually used, as I stated earlier, this gift is actually used for the unbelievers. When unbelievers hear it, you know, it's as we can see that in Scripture. But I'm not here to talk about that. But anyway, just prophecy. What I wanted to do is give you an example on the visions that I've seen and how it relates to today as it relates to ISIS. And it's tremendous. And it took me a while. Well, it had to actually be revealed, of course, as it relates to ISIS. I didn't understand it until we see, you know, we see what we have on TV. But there's a lot of things. I mean, everyone are having other visions and everything. But it can be at a personal level too, right? I mean, someone can have visions about someone else around the corner, someone they know in church, and they can relay this information to that person so they can make better life decisions as it relates to God, right? Same thing. No problem. Same thing. Depends upon what you're called for, right? So there's many other things, visions and goals and aspirations I have in life. So this rolls up on, you know, a lot of major goals that I have in life, and they're as relates to God. It's wonderful. Anyway, you can also see that. Second note: you can also see that with the fruit of the Spirit as well. I just spoke about the gifts of the Spirit, the three yet are one. You can also see, it's amazing. You can also see in the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control, right? So what can we do there? We can group these three as one, too. So love, joy, and peace is what? From the heart. So as it relates to the fruits of the Spirit, God has what? Shown you that love, joy, and peace come from the heart. Those are three. Those three could be one of the heart, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Also what? That correlates to your neighbor. So these three yet could be what? Divinely perfection to your neighbor as it relates to the fruits of the Spirit. You can use long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Anyway, these are just notes. And then towards God, faith, meekness, and self-control is towards God. These three can what? Can be divine perfection towards God as it relates to the Spirit. So you start to see these patterns, as you can see. You start to pick up on these patterns. And these patterns, again, are just numbers. I can go on and on about what? Colors, too. I can sit here and tell you certain colors as it relates to the Bible, how God communicates with people through color. It's tremendous. But you have to pick these things up. You have to pick them up through studying the Word of God and what? And through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resonates with your spirit. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't, you know, sit down next to you and say, hey, you know, point your finger. This is what this means. Well, it could to some people, but it doesn't resonate with me that way. As you continue to study the Word of God, you start to see patterns. You start to see things resonating with you. And then it starts to become what? Easy. It's because it's easy because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you. And the Holy Spirit is what? He's resonating with your spirit. And you're able to what? See these things and communicate, right? Just as in the flesh, certain, say, for example, athletes, they can run or or do certain things because of their, you know, their body allows them to, and it's easy for them. It's the same thing in the spirit. There's certain things that come very easy. You can discern. Say, for example, you can discern the spirits, the gifts of the discernment of spirits. It's easy to see when a negative spirit is coming upon someone or a negative spirit is present, because it's the truth that's in you through the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus. But you can also sense deception. You know, because of the fact that you have the spirit of truth, you can see deception. You know things are going on. You know maybe someone's lying, for example. But you have to work with it. You have to continue to work with it. The Holy Spirit's a helper, and these things start to come a lot easier. Anyway, let me continue on. So interpretation, what I'm going to speak about today briefly, again, is as it relates to interpretation and then my vision as it relates to Isis. So let me just go ahead and move on to that. It looks like I've spent some time there. Isis is in the Bible. So let me share with you the vision I had actually on, September 21st, 2008, Saturday. It was about 11:48 p.m. at night. I had a vision. I was actually in Massachusetts. And I dreamed before I went, this was right before I went to go work out, I saw a clock at a very far distance. I didn't understand the clock, but I knew it was a clock, and it was very, very far. I didn't understand it. But then all of a sudden, a mist came up quickly. And I wasn't going to write this one down, but I wrote it down anyway. And I wrote it down anyway. And typically, it's funny that the ones I didn't really want to write down have became so instrumental in my growth with Christ. That's amazing. So I also ask you, to listeners, if you have dreams and visions, please call in. We can share. I love it. But also, write them down. If you don't understand it, write it down. We can, you know, typically, generally, you can find out what's going on. If it's Satan, if it's God, or if you ate too much pizza the night before, you can kind of see a lot of that stuff going on sometimes. Anyway, so what am I getting at? So I saw, you know, at a very far away, small clock. I didn't think nothing of it, and then a mist came. I had no clue what it was. So that was what, September 21st, 2008. I don't know what it is on the Jewish calendar, but we have to remember, too, I can see what's on the Jewish calendar, and I'm learning more and more that things that correlate till today rolls up directly to what happens on the Jewish calendar and what's happened in the past. So I have a lot of other things. You know, I do have a lot of other notes as far as what's to come, but they also correlate on either the feast of Israel or they also correlate on days that have already happened. There's a high correlation on that. God is exact. God doesn't estimate anything. So we have to understand that things that have happened in the past are absolutely going to happen on the same days. And it's not to predict that, right? God will communicate that to you to warn other people, to tell them, you know, whatever the message that it has to be. So we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused and abreast of that. Let's not look at it as, okay, hey, you know, next week this is going to happen, you know, it's all good. Let's not look at it that way, right? We're here to spread the word of God and to learn other things. Anyway, so as it came, now September 21st, 2008, and then come October 13th, 2011. Now, that was about three or four years ago, but it took time. But anyway, so it was shown. I was at a tall gray house, and, you know, it was very old and historic. The spirit took me up in a house on the top, and it showed me it was an old corn with perforations and bumps. I had a dream that I had remote control on that Sunday. And then it was shown on the top, there was a shown on a clock with hands at 12 o'clock. And it was with gold symbols. And it had actually a white background, and it was at 12 o'clock. So it was time. Then I had other visions, successions that are related to the temple of God and everything. And those were spaced out. That's a different message. But not for now, not for here. But the clock. So as I continue to study the Word of God and continue to study things. So there is a prophet that talks about let's go here. Sorry, I'm getting out my Bible. Habakkuk. And the prophet also saw the clock as well. So what is God communicating? So now I have this clock. So it was far away distant, right? Which means it was, I didn't know that at the time, but it means far away. It has not came yet, right? It has not come to pass. But now I see it, 2011, it's close. It means what? It's here. And plus it's 12 o'clock, right? So, and again, God's time is different from ours, but he tries to communicate with us that what? Times are coming, times are past. So what does this mean? Instantly, I did not know, but as I continue to study the Word of God, there are clocks in the Bible. There was the prophet Habakkuk that had a vision as related to a clock. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read parts of it. But there was other. There's been some other revelation as far as what's been going on and how that relates till now. I just want to share it with you. I'm going to read it. And Habakkuk, and just a little background, he was upset to, you know, he asked God, why do I see all this iniquity, this lawlessness going on, all these wrong things, you know, as it relates to Israel and everything around him. And then again, then God comes back, right? But God tells him what he's going to do. And also, this, you know, typically a vision, I mean, typically a prophet can also speak of things that are to come then, but it's also going to what come later. It's going to speak of things that later. If what I've been also picking up is that the prophets, as it relates to, you got the major prophets and the minor prophets. Minor not meaning their message is small. Minor meaning that their delivery or message was important just as the major prophets. You know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, but it was just a smaller revelation that God had given to them, just as tremendous as the others. But God has focused on the major prophets as relates to the length of in which they prophesied. The message was absolutely the same, right? The power of the message is the same. When we say minor prophets, it sounds like they're pretty minor, but they're not. But anyway, so the thing with, just another message, is that the minor prophets, the 12 or whatever, the minor prophets that we have, they prophesized a lot on the ending, on the coming of what we're looking at today. Not only in those days, but we'll see a pattern of what? In these last days. So I'll say that again. That's very important. If you look in the Bible, every book has a pattern. Every book of the Bible, there's 66 books, right? They all have a pattern. I can easily, and I'll go through one of them, at another time. But Revelation, it's very chronological, right? Revelation 1, he tells John to look at things that what those were, they are, and to come. So he's going to focus on what was in the past, what are they are now, and what's to come, right? And so what are they are now is the church, and that's what he got into, of course. But chapters 2 and 3, Christ, what? Talks about the churches. Christ has his own letters to the churches, right, to the seven churches, and to the body of Christ, actually. Because he says, everyone, listen up. He's given you also not only to the church, but our body is the temple. We still use churches, yes. There's nothing the matter with churches. Are there problems with churches? Absolutely. There was problem with churches when Paul was preaching. That's why we have the 13 letters that he's wrote in New Testament to the churches, because the churches weren't acting right, well, at least most of them, right? Some of them were good. Some of them were bad. The message, so they had to learn. But Paul never said, don't go to church. I mean, sometimes we have to remember that, right? Some people may say, hey, you know, church, this and that. Let's not, you know, we have to understand that Paul was writing to the churches to correct them. If they were bad then, do you think they're bad now? Absolutely. Yes. Right? Does it mean it's okay to be bad? No, of course not. But God, you know, through the New Testament and also through the writings of what? Jesus Christ in chapters 2 and 3 to the churches, right? He gives you a little bit of insight. He says, hey, You know, I'm coming back, but we need to be what? Overcomers. And I truly believe, this is from me now, that Christ is actually communicating to the temple. There's different types of people, too. If there are different type of churches as it relates to buildings, there's different type of people as they illustrate themselves as the temple or the body of Christ, right? That's just me. That's my saying. I mean, that's just my thought process. It's because when you look at it, yes, absolutely, he's talking about Smyrna. He's talking about Laodicea. I mean, he's looking at all those churches in those regions. Absolutely. Totally agree. But he's saying to all those who what? Can hear. To convey this message. Yes, our body is the temple. And Christ even said that. So he's talking to you and I as the church. If it's a building, fine. I mean, we can use that for Paul, too. But he never said that what? Church is you know, the building itself, let's not go. So we got to be very careful. Bible also talks about how we have... those, you know, as the temple. But anyway, so so it's really good as we continue to embark on these things. So on the second, I see we have a caller. Let's put them on. Hello, we have a call. Thanks for calling. Can you just state your name, maybe your first name and where you're calling from?
My name is Andrea, and I'm calling from Mississippi.
Oh, hello, Andrea. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Oh, good. Did you want to share anything as I was speaking today?
No, I just actually got on the line, but I was calling in just for prayer, if you do prayer.
Oh, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going through, I mean, just in general? Is it things as it relates to visions or a lot of things that are going on in your life or just in general?
Things that are going on in my life, and I need answers, I need direction.
Okay.
Two main things.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Two main things I know I need, you know, answers on. There's some VA money that's been held up. It's called an apportionment that I had to file for. And the money just been being held up. And I need that money like yesterday.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. And your name is Andrea again? I'm sorry.
It is.
Andrea. Okay, go ahead, Andrea.
Okay, and I would like to start a business. And I guess, you know, just need direction on the business and direction on with my walk with Christ. You know, what should I be doing?
Okay. No, that's good. That's really good. And do you, if you don't mind me asking, do you currently go to a church or?
I do.
Oh, good, good. And how is that working, just in general?
Oh, it's working out. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Yes,
I'm sorry. What'd
it's
you say?
It's working.
Oh,
out.
That's
mm-hmm.
good. That's good. That's good. That's good. As I continue to, you know, focus and to learn the things of God, and you know, I love to share. Sometimes it's all, you know, sometimes it's also good to see, you know, just a little bit of, you know, background and everything. But that's good. And sometimes we have to also see that there are times in our life that God. It took me time. And again, just sharing this with you, sometimes times and seasons are different. And sometimes to realize when that door is opening, and sometimes when things, you know, are happening at times at God's set point, it's tremendous, right? It's tremendous. And the things that I've gone through, you know, that I didn't realize or that I see up ahead, right? And, it's tremendous knowing that what it's about to come. So even, you know, my walk with Christ, and as I, you know, was learning and studying, you know, I'm still learning and studying a lot of things that he showed me. It was over the forefront. It wasn't there now. It was coming later. Right. And so there was things I had to do, of course, to try and at least to get prepared. But anyway, mm-hmm. But okay, no, that's good. This is good. So we have to remember and focus that what God wants to do these things for you, right? It doesn't make sense, you know, that you believe in Christ, you want to do the right thing, and there's just things going on in this world, right? Just in general, yeah. Right? It could be your life.
Right.
It could be typically it's. I mean, it's the main things, right? It's either your relationship,
mm-hmm.
or it's your work, or if, you know, it's a lot of things that are the top three that Satan loves to,
right.
to come against.
Yes,
right?
The top three.
Yeah, I mean those.
Okay.
I mean, if you can grab, you know,
yeah.
a hold of those typically. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
My mom was talking. Go ahead. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so as we see these things, God does want to give you this, right? God, you know, as it relates to money and the things that you need, and also your business that you're trying to do, God wants to give you these things, right? And it's not that He doesn't, right? So these things are instrumental. These things are these things He wants to share with you, and also to, you know, to help you grow as a person, and also what to help others. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what we'll do now is, I'll pray over that right now, and so let's bow our hearts right now, and I just want to let you know and to let you feel that God is a deliverer. He wants to give you these things. And so right now I want to just say thank you, Father, Heavenly Father, as we continue to march down this road with you, helping Andrea to see these things as it relates to money and as it relates to the VA holding us back. This is a stronghold, and we're going to come through, and we're going to make sure that things come together and to come right for Andrea as it relates to these things. They are spiritual in nature. They're not flesh and blood as we see those things. As we try to turn things around ourselves, these are spiritual in nature. And we fight a spiritual fight through the Spirit and not through our own means, but giving it up to God to make sure that He is able to what? To release these strongholds as it relates to these things, Father. And also the business. There's also a business aspect that Andrew is trying to build, and we can see that together. And we agree that this is something that she wants to do and that you're going to touch and to open it up for her, not only for her, but for other people as well. For these things of God, as it relates to the gifts and as it relates to all these spiritual and natural things, are to help other people. And so we know that, Father. So we come together continuing to look and focus on these things to make Andrea smarter and stronger for tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. And let's both say it together. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good. So I hope that it's instrumental. And we have to remember also is that prayer, oh, my goodness. I mean, it takes time, but prayer is a opening. It's something that opens up the spiritual portal. You know, you take it, and prayer is instrumental. I mean, it really is. There's times in which, you know, someone's sick or, you know, they need prayer, and that prayer unlocks
mm-hmm.
that spiritual realm for someone to be an intercessor, you know, to be able to come through and to help others. So I only know that through either experience or something that has happened to someone else that I didn't understand that God uses, you know, as well as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to unlock and to help people, you know. So we have to remember the key is helping other people. The key is others. When it comes to love, it's not me, you know, it's the other person. You know, what can I do to help that other person? And that's what Christ did, you know. Christ
right.
really
mm-hmm.
focused on other people as it relates to sin and as it relates to, He went to sinners, right, and He helped those people. And so that's good. That's really good. I'm sorry, I kind of went, you know, digressed a little bit, but no, that's really good. So I hope you know, a lot of this helps you and also helps build what you want to do. This is really good stuff. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, Andrea, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, you can always call back, or you can just. hold on the line. I'm just going to continue to talk
okay.
about my visions or whatever. But if you have anything else, you could just, I guess, speak up or whatever. Okay?
Okay.
So I hope everything
okay,
else is working out, too. And I also pray for the sickness, too. I love to do that. So if there's anyone that you know of that needs a little, you know, as it relates to sickness and disease, I pray over that as well. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for calling. Okay, that was good. That was, thank you, Andrea, for calling. That was Andrea from Mississippi calling for a little bit of help as it relates to, we can always use, and I can always use it too, prayer, of course, as it relates to the VA money and our business as well. So we have that. Thank you for calling in. And again, calling number 909-202-8657. And so what I also want to continue on here is as it relates to, as it relates to the clock. So as I got this clock in the book of Habakkuk, you'll see that God actually showed the clock. The clock was at 12, so I didn't understand. But as I continued to study the Word of God, I started to see what? I started to see that there was a prophet who talked about these things. And so in these things, I matched that to a prophet. And then once I saw that, I started to relate that these are the things that are happening today. So where are we at? This is tremendous. So where are we at? We are at the point in which I'm about to read as it relates to Habakkuk, but you can tell this is ISIS. And I'll give a little bit of background on ISIS, not much, but we know this is let me just read the passage first. And then we'll go on. Again, so where am I getting at? This is how God communicates as it relates to prophecy, called in the office of a prophet. I mean, there's three levels as it relates to prophecy. There's the gift of prophecy. If it's instantaneous, it's as the Spirit wills. And so we have to look at God, Father, we have to look at God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit gives the gift of prophecy, it's as he wills, and it's at a particular time to witness to someone for a predefined time period. So it can be instant. Someone can stand up in church, for example, and say, hey, you know, they have the gift of prophecy, and then next thing you know, it's, you know, they just give it. Or it can be out in the street or whatever. Then there's one of Christ, of course. Christ calls you to the office and to the ministry. Right, and then there's also one of God in which you prophesy, and that calling is totally. I mean, they're all different, the gift of prophecy is the same. However, who calls you is what's the difference, if that makes sense. If we haven't really heard it in that realm, so say for example, if it's through the Holy Spirit, it's temporary. You still have the gift, but it's temporary. The Holy Spirit does it as he wills, and he wants to get something done. But if Christ does it, it's through the body of Christ, and it's through ministry. So it's probably a type of, it's probably a calling in the church. And then at a higher level than that, it's of God. And God, if you're a prophet, you're probably... If you're called of God, yet all three are one, purpose is different. We have to remember that the Holy Spirit, Christ, and the Father all have different personalities, yet they are one, right? So they're all different in personality. However, the main focus is what they call you to do as far as your purpose. If God the Father calls you to be a prophet, then most likely it's governed off faith, and it's probably going to be historic, you know, in a sense. Christ, not to downplay the message of Christ or the Holy Spirit, absolutely not. It's just it's governed off faith. If we also see in Revelation 11. We also see in Revelation 11 of the two witnesses. These two witnesses are in the office of a prophet, and they are tremendous. They actually witness and testify of the things of during the maybe right before in the middle of the tribulation. That's not important, but to the Jews, but God gives them all power to execute the same judgments and the same power that Moses had and Elijah had. So tremendous prophets, but it's governed on faith, right? Who's willing to do those things and to die, right? So we, you know, we have to be careful there. So anyway, so in the Bible, Habakkuk chapter 1, I want to start at verse 6. And God is, I mean, if we look at this, he says, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breath and the land of to possess what? The dwelling places that are not theirs." Wow, Chaldeans. I'll get back with that in a second. "They are terrible and dreadful," their judgment, verse 7. "They are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their," what? "Dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are like swifter than the leopards." Talking about their power. When typically God talks about horses, it talks about their reign and power, just in general. And we see that in other Daniels and also in Revelation. "And are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar." Wow, come from afar. Sounds like people are joining ISIS now. They're coming from afar to join ISIS. I don't know if you realize that if you look at the news. There are people probably, of course, in the United States now, that has, I don't know what they're up to, but people are actually flying from England, for example, and also the United States to join this group. And right here it says that they spread themselves and their horsemen, what, shall come from afar. They shall, what, fly as an eagle, as hasten to eat. And again, when God uses animals, he's is symbolic. Typically, you think of an eagle as being swift, right? Eagles actually have, you know, X-Men, you know, eyesight. They can see very far away. And I look at, you know, if there's a bug, or I'm saying bug, but I'm exaggerating. But if there's a bug right, you know, flying right above the waters, eagle from 1,000 feet away can come down and swoop before that insect even know what they, you know, what they hit, or even a, it could be a fish too, you know what I'm getting at. So the thing is that, so when he uses these, he's talking about being swift, actually, when you see eagle. Anyway, "They shall come from, for violence, their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall," what, "gather the captives as the sand." And we know that's exactly what they're doing. "And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them." If you remember, they've, you know, as it relates to Obama and Putin and the other leaders of this country, they have stated taunting them. This highly correlates to what we see today. "They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it." And I can talk about this, but there's going to be a little bit of interpretation, but I'm not going to go through that now. "And then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, and imputing his power unto his God." I'm going to stop here, but as you can see, is let me describe just a little bit. You, as you continue to read, just "Thou, for my everlasting shall not die, O Lord, thou art," verse 13, "the wicked devour the man, makest men and fish of the sea, no ruler," 15. I'm just trying to make sure they empty their net in the spirit. Okay, so as you can see, this hasty nation, God says, now listen, this is, what I'm getting at is that the first part, right, as it relates to, the vision that I've seen, it was a small clock. I didn't realize that it was far away, but now I've seen a clock 2-3 years ago. And I don't want to correlate the time of ISIS, but there is a correlation there. I don't want to go over it here. But I just want to give you the message of that clock and then matching that clock to what the prophet saw in his vision. And what? God says, "I raise up this hasty nation, the Chaldeans." But we have to remember that that the ancient ruins of the city of Babylon are just right outside the modern city of Baghdad, right, Iraq, which once was the heart of the headquarters of the Babylonian Empire during the prophet of Jeremiah's days, right? So who are the Chaldeans in this prophecy, in this short three-chapter book? They're none other than people who occupy the territory today of modern Iraq, Iran, and Syria, right? I mean, we can go on. I don't have to speak upon that. But these Chaldeans are those people who occupy that land. And it's very clear. ISIS, again, stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, I believe, something like that. And I think the name has changed but a little bit. But that's not the point. The point is that it's not, you know, it's these group of people that God is what? Gearing up, raising up. And what he's doing is we have to see what's really going on. So, okay, Charles, so what? Okay, you know, God shows you this vision of it being far away, and then you see it close, and then it's here, right? So what? Well, what's tremendous, as I continue to study and learn the things of God, what's tremendous is that every book has a pattern, right? Every book of the Bible has a pattern, every last book. It shows where you are as it relates to time. God's time clock. If you want to see the time clock, of course we can look at Israel, and you know, and we're there, right? We go to Ezekiel, right? We go to Daniel, right? We go to Isaiah. There's times in which not all of them are somewhat chronological, but you can see God, you know, shows you where we are in the timeline and what may happen next, right? That's the key. And then once you understand that. And you understand the Hebrew, you know, their time clock. I mean, when things happen, you learn more and more, and then you understand what is coming. Again, not to predict, but to warn and to comfort people. So as I continue to look at this, I can show you more how that rolls up in today's. I raise up the Chaldeans, the bitter and hasty nation. And we, of course, we know that they're marching through the land, that they're dwelling places that are not theirs, right? So this terrible and dreadful judgment and judgment that precede themselves. I mean, as you can continue to read this, I'm not going to read this, but as you continue to see this, this matches exactly. Now, how do I know this? It's because of the fact that given that vision and seeing what I saw, and actually, I think the coin I saw actually was of, I have some, that's more to the story too, but the coin I saw had to do with over there. Typically you can, you know, of a coin of its nature. I mean, if you look at a coin, you know what country it's from. And so I believe when I tried to write that down, I did find out it was those nations over there. Anyway, that was a while ago. I really didn't understand if that was the message, but I get it. You know, I continue to understand and see that this message is of God. However, the thing is that, so as a prophet, say for example, so as a message giver, you know, as there's going to be a change, right? So first of all, I look at, okay, where are we at in time as it relates to Christ, right? I mean, how does this edify the body of Christ? Okay, we see that these things are happening, but they're going to have a change in mind. If we look at scripture, if we look at 11, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 11, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing what? This his power unto his God. So there's something that's going to happen here shortly. And we have to remember that this is instrumental, because I have to mention this, because God tells in the second chapter, God says, I'm going to work a work in your days that you're not going to believe. So this is what I truly believe. This is what touched me to get this word out to you, is that God, we have to remember now that God is focusing on what? Bringing his, what? Christ coming back, Israel understanding what they've done, and then he wants to graft in everyone so he can move on. God can move on and dwell with us forever, right? So we see this coming to pass. And so what he likes to do, God the Father, he shows patterns to his servants. Old Testament he called servants because they didn't know what God was up to. So God would use the prophet as a servant. He said, I use what? Nebuchadnezzar as a servant. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what was going on, but he used Nebuchadnezzar to take Israel down because they were being what? They were being bad. They were being adulterous. They were going with other gods, right? So what does God do is he talks to his Old Testament prophets with what? With what? As they relate to servants. But Jesus says what? I'm your friend. I'm not a servant that knows what his master's up to. And I put that quote on my first page, is that what? Christ, what? If you're a friend of Christ, he tells you what's going on. And so that's what he did to his disciples. And that's what he does to in the body of Christ. He has prophets. So he shares to prophets what God has told him or what God has shared with him. So God the Father shares with Christ and what? Shares with us. Not only that, but through the prophets. Again, through the Bible is the primary source, right? But he also uses the body of Christ. He also uses people to get things out. And it's wonderful and it's tremendous. So as we embark on this ISIS group, they're going to be shortly lived. When I mean shortly lived, something's going to change. How do I know that? I'm not trying to predict. I'm giving you God's word. Do you understand that? So you can have comfort. And when these things come to pass, you should be able to scratch your head and say, ah, this gives comfort. Why? It's because God does not come against his own. You know, I had a message as it relates to the righteous. God loves the righteous, right? During judgment, during impending judgment, as we are coming across in the United States, believe me, judgment is coming. Oh, absolutely. Oh, but his righteous, he shields. Because the Bible in Nahum even says, you know, the righteous is not what? Righteous, the judgment does not come against the righteous. I mean, if you think about it, that's fair, right? But the thing is that are we going to go through some troubling times? Absolutely. As believers today? Absolutely we are. And it's what? It's through other people and it's through the things of God in which we want. We can persevere and continue to do the things of God and to be strong, right? And I thank her for calling, just like Andrea when she called up. You know, she's a believer in Christ. She goes to church, right? And she wants to pray over this VA money that God is going to release to her, and also this business. Tremendous, right? So the thing is that we have to continue, you know, to focus on Christ as we, you know, as it relates to the righteous and as we want to continue to move forward. God wants to help us, right? But we need one another. You know, when Christ, remember Jesus looked over? He looked at all the people. And all these people were, he saw them falling to the wayside. They were following him, knowing that he was healing. And he says, oh my goodness, what? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray. So what is he saying? A lot of people, the harvest is very much, we're trying to bring people to Christ, right, as it relates to non-believers, but we're also trying to what? Help within us, help the body of Christ, you know, and to help them. So Christ says what? So pray. So that's what I did today with Andrea. It's continue to pray. And I love it. And I love to continue to, you know, to help others. And also, I hope you pray for me too. I can always use prayer. But as it relates to the things of God, it's tremendous. So I try to use this and what God has imparted onto me, but also to you. And I have other many, and I'll continue to share as well. But we have to realize is that, you know, I continue to share the visions that I have. Again, I have a lot, but I didn't know, you know, some of the interpretation thereof is kind of slow, but I have to learn, I have to study, just like anything, just like this ISIS, right? God gave me a vision about this, and it's multiple. It can also satisfy multiple avenues. It's just not one thing, right? I mean, I've had other visions as far as the temple of God, as it relates to what they're trying to build. But sometimes if you have to get a little bit of background on that, and I don't want to speak, you know, if people are listening and they don't really know the history of the temple or, you know, what the heck the temple is or, you know what I'm getting at as far as what they're trying to build. At least I didn't when, you know, even when I was growing up, I had no clue of the temple. I just knew of Christ, Jesus. And so what I'm getting at is that there's certain levels of understanding. So sometimes I have to, you know, to... I have to provide a framework or a foundation before I do that, you know. So hopefully, speaking today has helped out people as it relates to prophecy. Again, a little basic introduction to prophecy is not to predict, is to foretell, to tell something's coming that's from God. It's through the Word of God. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's for God's will, but it's not to foretell. It's not to predict something to happen. However, God will, depending upon, I truly feel, this is me speaking, I truly feel if you're able to receive the Word, because there are false prophets, there's prophets that have been bad. You can see that in Ezekiel's day, in the first few chapters of Ezekiel, that there were prophets that were bad, they prophesied out of their own heart, and they may have taken what God has given them and not used it right. I do not want to do that. That's why it's actually taken me time to start to go to add this, you know, in my teachings or to add this type of information just in general. So anyway, so it's real good, real good. So as I continue, I also, that was more on a prophetic sense as relates to history, but I also have vision as relates to what's going on today and what's going on now as it relates to famine. I also see famine coming up as it relates to, of course, famine means food. But if you look at God's pattern, I didn't get on the red moons, but as we see the pestilence, Ebola, these diseases. There's a lot of diseases now. They don't know, you know, how to stop them. And, you know, so this is a pestilence. God calls this the four sore judgments, as we can see in Ezekiel. But they're happening to us as the United States as we start to turn our back towards God. So we have to remember, though, where we're at as relates to end-time prophecy. And it's very clear. I mean, again, these books of the Bible are giving you a snippet of where we at. Every book does. As I state, you know, we're in Revelation, right? We're right before chapter 4, right? I mean, if you wanted to say, well, where are we at in Revelation? You have to remember chapters, Revelation 5 through 18 has to do with Israel nation, has to do with Israel. But you can see these things coming to pass. I mean, you can see all these things going on, Iran nuclear talks and all this stuff. Yes, yeah, I mean, this is very, 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 very trying times for the Christian. But we have to remember, we're here now. We're here to, you know, to get God's word out and trying to help one another as Christ returns. He can return any minute now. He's imminent. But anyway, so thank you again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Andrea, thank you for calling, Andrea, and please call us back if things work out immediately. I would really like to know. I think actually that has happened to, come think of it, that happened to my brother. Actually, my brother was dating a girlfriend one time, and she didn't receive, this is funny, I didn't think about that, she didn't receive a check. And actually, she didn't receive a check. It wasn't a VA check, but she didn't receive a check, and she needed it. And so she wasn't really into the church, to be honest, but my brother was. And, you know, that's another story. I mean, you know, unequally yoked, and, you know, we've worked on that. He's not with her now. But anyway, the main focus is that we prayed over that, and that next day, that check came in. And they stated, you know, it was on its way. But I can't explain it. I'm not saying that, you know, it happens that way all the time. Absolutely not. But there are certain things that are govern our faith, is to show God does certain things to bring people into Christ. And so I truly believe that she did believe for, you know, however long she believed, but she was happy. And I mean she went back to her other state of, you know, or whatever. But that's not the point. The point is that it was revealed to her. She did see that, wow, this is something else. And so the good, I mean, we have to remember is that when I try to you know, help others out, God has, you know, just as Paul said, I can plant the seed, they nurture it. What God provides the growth. So, you know, as these things happen, I love it, right? I want them to happen. I mean, as it relates to all of these things, these things are in faith, are going to happen, right? But it's tremendous because it's just the attraction of God. God says what? As it relates to the fruit of the Spirit, are these fruits our fruits in a sense? No. These fruits are to be grown so that it's an appearance of something, so someone can see the fruit in someone else and see the light in someone's life. So that what? God can be glorified. That's the key. And so that God can be glorified, helping other people, and then what? Me personally growing fruits or whatever, someone growing fruits, but you can see something. The fruit is what? It's the appearance of something. You can see that that's a fruit. You know, love or peace, you know, long suffering. Those are fruits. So once they see that, they get attracted to the fruit. And then what? It's really to glorify what? God. That's what Christ says. So these things are important. But anyway, that was a good note, too, that happened to her. She was very happy at the time. And that's good. That's really good stuff. Anyway, so Andrea, call us back. And I appreciate that. So before we go, I also want to give, as it relates to salvation, we will always want to remember that salvation is very important. It's very key as it relates to the body of Christ. It's in which you establish a relationship knowing that what? That I have this relationship with Christ as it relates to being saved and as it relates to receiving Christ. It's really easy to receive Christ in your life, right? Of course, John the Baptist preached repentance. You know, repent. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. And at that time, Christ was walking the earth, of course. So when he was preaching repentance and baptizing, Christ was what? He was ready to equip his disciples to continue. Once he leaves and dies for our sins, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to receive power and continue this church, what was hidden, which Paul mentions, which was hidden from the world in the Old Testament. Was, of course, of the coming of this church. But anyway, so it's easy. This is really easy, and I want to open this up. If you haven't given or accepted your life to Christ, it's real easy. And the Bible, everyone knows of Christ, right? Actually, Paul mentions that, hey, you know, there's a notion or there's some sense of Jesus Christ just may be Lord. And also he gives an example of how God also, you look at these things that are in nature, that the unspoken things or the unseen things are clearly seen in his nature, right? As it relates to green grass, how it takes in carbon dioxide and it emits oxygen. Or just a small tilt of the axis of the world, for example, will all burn up, right? Or the ozone layer, if its density was just a little bit lighter, you know, again, the sun's rays could, you know, it's by all design. It's say, for example, it's a draft as well. A draft, it eats what? It's real tall, and it eats leaves from tall trees, so it has a real tall neck. But if the draft goes down to get water, it should pass out each time. But he has an extra bucket. Right, he has an extra aperture, pouch, for example, for blood, so he doesn't pass out. So that had to be by deliberate design. So these things show you that what? It authenticates God, in a sense. You know, it shows you that there is a God. And it authenticates God that something outside of this has to be designed. And that designer or creator is God, the Father. So to accept him, I mean, to know of him and everything, but to accept him, it's very easy and it's very simple. In the Bible, Romans 10, and in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, it states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So it's a two part. It's saying and confessing and receiving, right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So it's from the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So I'm going to ask you this question right now. If you haven't done that today, we can do that today now. And we want to say that if you died today, where would you spend eternity? And that's the most important part. That what, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's in John 3:16, right? So you see, God loves you, and he has a great plan for your life. He wants everyone to accept his free gift of salvation and everlasting life, right? So this is truth, right? And so we have to understand that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, it's not through our own doings in which we can become saved. It's a gift from God to do anything. There's nothing you can do to receive that. And we have to remember mercy, the difference between mercy and, let's say, for example, grace. Grace is given upon to you when you don't deserve it, right? And it's through the grace of God. It's activated through faith, but it's through the grace of God. And mercy is what? You should be punished, but he holds back punishment. So mercy and grace are tremendous as it relates to God, right? And it's the gift of God as it relates to salvation. It's the grace of God giving you this as a free gift, right? And not punishing you as relates to mercy. But anyway, so salvation is what? It's a free gift. It's not of works, right? So in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, says, it is for what? It is by the grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it's as easy as believing and receiving, right? It's a free gift. So let's just say this simple prayer together. Just repeat after me. Actually receiving the things of God, receiving Christ in your life, right? Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and rose victorious over death. I ask you to forgive me and all of my sins. I turn from my sin today, only to follow Jesus Christ all the days of my life. Lord, I give you all of my pain, all of my hurts, all of my fears, and all of my infirmities. Today, I have received total, complete healing in my life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. From this day forward, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So if you stated those words and know in your heart that you accepted Christ, and you stated it, and you know that Jesus Christ died for you, and he died and he rose the third day, and he's alive right now at the right hand of the Father. You would have called, your spirit dies no more. We have to renew our mind. We are three parts. We have a spirit, The true you is spirit. We have a mind or a soul in which our decision process is the intellect of the soul. But then we also have what? Our flesh body. The flesh body has to be what? Resurrected when Christ returns. So the flesh is the same. We still have to keep it under. We still have to control it. There's nothing good in the flesh and do all the, you know, the lustful desires thereof. But we have to control that with our mind. And we daily what? We have to daily, as it relates to our mind, renew our mind. Believe me. And then also, but your spirit, once you have accepted through Christ, your spiritual body, I mean, your spirit is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And it dies no more. So you are called what is saved as it relates to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So continue to study. Joining a local church. Again, not all churches are the same. God will show you to what church that resonates in your heart. But continue to build on the things of God and to continue to study the words of God. There's many ways in which he focuses and he shows you himself as well. But anyway, I love you all. And I'll be on probably, I'm going to try and, I haven't been back for a while. This is my first time back in a while. So I'm going to try to have more insightful things. So just look, you know, if there's any topics specifically, if you want to see, just let me know. If you want to email me, that'd be good too. On specific topics, I can't remember if there's an email on my front part. But if you'd like to email me, it's Chaz, C-H-A-Z, the letter K, the letter C, 888@gmail.com. Again, my email is C-H-A-Z, the letter K, the letter C, the number's 888@gmail.com. Write me. Tell me if this has been a blessing. Tell me the things that, you know, maybe I can, you know, work on. Or if there's anything that you want to hear as well as I continue to study the Word of God. I love God. And also I pray. And let's remember, pray every day, ask for forgiveness for your sins, and leave your former ways behind. May God bless you and your family, and I will see you next time. Love you.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. You created all for love's sake, became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. Together, wonderful to me. Altogether worthy, altogether one.